welcome everyone to the Grace Hour Show, our show that only takes place for 45 minutes, but we round up. That's our Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us to learn our faith in a practical way.
This is your intro.
My name is Pastor Matt Garrett, and I am joined with Philippe Siragi, Director of the Young Adults Ministry at Greater Grace World Outreach.
Indeed.
And today we're going to be talking about this question, does God still heal?
Yep.
And we're going to be covering two theological terms, subjects. They are cessationism and continuationism.
Yes.
So I'm going to lead us off today. We're going to switch it up a little bit. Philippe told me to give him a break, so I'm giving him a break.
And, what I said is you always throw me under the bus to start, and then
I consider it giving you the preeminence, but you can call it whatever. Okay. Yeah. Cessationism.
If I'm prepared, I think, okay, if I'm not prepared with the question, I feel like I'm thrown under the bus.
I'm sorry.
But it's okay, because I think
now I know how you really feel.
I did okay. It was not thump. It was okay.
Well, now we're on the same page, and now okay. I can ask before we get started.
But you threw yourself under the bus.
I'm throwing myself under the bus. Right. So I'm going to start you guys off with definitions for these large theological words, and then I'm going to take you into the framework of our conversation today, which is that question, does God still heal?
Yes.
So cessationism, broad definition, is attributed to the end of the apostolic age, which brought about the end of miracles associated with that age. For instance, tongues, healing, prophecy, and miracles.
Yes.
Okay, now again, we're going to be talking about this term specifically on the subject of healing. We're not going to get into tongues. We're not going to get into the types of prophecy. We're not going to get into the different miracles performed by Jesus and many others throughout the Gospels. We're just going to focus on healing. Now, continuationism, the opposite of cessationism, indicates that all spiritual gifts are in operation today. All the healing, all the tongues, all the miracles, all the prophecy, all of it is still in operation today. So our very first question, and the way that we're going to approach this conversation is I'm going to ask Philippe, what is our stance?
Okay.
So now I'm throwing you under the bus.
Yeah, you are.
What is our stance on this? Which of the two sides do we fall on, if any, and why do we believe that?
All right, so maybe a little precision point on what you just said, maybe just to frame the conversation a little further. Well, I think when people say, so those words, as you mentioned them, the cessationism and continualism, continuationism, it's in French we say it differently, so there's one more syllable in English, but they are larger terms. And then today we are going to defend the idea we are continuationists. But not, it's funny, although we don't talk about anything else but healing, we are not continuationist when it comes down to some things. So it's like the term is broad, but if I look at it, I would have to split in pieces to say, well, yes, I believe this still on. For example, the ministry of apostles, you know, I believe Ephesians 2:20 nails the idea that prophets and apostles, the way we understand them in the Old Testament and in the book of Acts and the Gospels, these are done. But the miracles and healing, I believe they continue, right? So it's not just, our conversation is simple today because we talk about, does God still heal?
Yeah.
But so we are going to defend the point that we do believe that God still healed today, but we are not agreeing with the whole stance of continuationism in that way.
Right.
Did I make myself clear?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Maybe just to give a verse on the difference in how we're believing different aspects of this theological subject or umbrella. Continuationism. So the apostolic age was a specific age in the church when the foundations of the church were laid on Jesus Christ and the apostles were visited by the Spirit. It was poured out on them and they went through the land, spread out quite tremendously, and they performed many miracles and gave many signs and wonders to indicate their apostolic title.
Yes.
So, like specifically for prophecy, you could split that up into a couple different terms. Prophecy is what are the two words we use? It's forthtelling or it's foretelling.
Yep.
And so this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, the foretellers, prophets, foretellers, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And what are we as the church in the church age? We are the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. We are part of the Son, and this is how God is speaking today. Is there any new revelation that can be added to the Bible? No, there is nothing like that.
Nope.
But there is what is revealed to us through the written word, through the spoken word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We call those rhemas, and there's a different kind of prophecy, and 1 Corinthians 14 covers that type of prophecy in depth.
Yes.
And that type of prophecy is the forthtelling of the word, the forthtelling of Scripture, the forthtelling of God's nature, of His Son, of His character, of His accomplishments, of everything that we have written for our learning, and it's for the edification of the church. So all of that to say is that we could split this word continuationism into multiple different aspects.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about healing specifically, we are continuationists.
Yeah.
We believe that God still heals today. That's the question of the episode. Does God still heal? Yes, absolutely. If you are in need of healing, go to God first. Go to God first.
Yeah.
Pray to Him.
Mm.
Ask Him to heal you. Speak to Him. And let Him reveal to you His perfect will for your specific situation.
Right.
And His wisdom and His knowledge.
Yeah. About prophecy, you know, it's interesting. I know it's a side note, but I mean, the point we're making here, we're just still framing the conversation, that we're not talking about anything else, but we have to explain that when we use the word continuationists, like, we are going to be defending as a position. It does not imply anything else at this point in the conversation.
Right.
And we have to be clear about the fact that the gift of tongues, as we see in the Bible, is very much a gift of the Spirit, but not the way most people understand it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at the book of Acts, the gift of tongues, the first mention of it in the Bible is when people hearing one, if you speak in English, I don't understand English, I'm speaking only French, and then I'm hearing you in French.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the miracle was. This is not you speaking another language you don't know, or
right.
some kind of angelic language. You speaking English, I'm hearing you in French. And Jehu over here would maybe think another language. Maybe he would hear you in his another language.
In Gen Z. Gen Z language.
Most likely.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And the other thing about miracles, about the forthtelling or the foretelling,
mm-hmm.
right? The foretelling is like, oh, I'm predicting the future.
Yeah.
And it's funny when you take all the prophets, the prophetic books in the Bible, there's 17 of them, right? They have the five major and the 12 minors.
Yeah.
Most of them have nothing to do with forthtelling.
Right.
With foretelling, I mean, like
right.
predicting the future.
Yeah.
Most of them don't. Besides Daniel, Ezekiel, you know, and Isaiah and Jeremiah
right.
that are actually giving very short, you know,
Very specific.
So when you define prophecy in the Bible, you cannot define prophecy as saying, well, this is some kind of a medium. I have a crystal ball. I'm going to tell you the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very small reduction of the prophet's role. Many times, and when they were also predicting the future, they were basing their prediction on the promises that were given in the book Deuteronomy, for
mm-hmm.
example, in the Pentateuch.
Yeah.
So God says, if you obey, this will happen. If you disobey, this will happen. And Isaiah says, well, you disobey, so this will happen.
Yeah.
So he's not even making a prophecy like in the future. He's just telling you, well, the consequences are coming. So even when they were predicting the future, most of the time they would base it on what the Bible said. Just like some pastor in Sunday morning would say, well, you know, this is what the Bible says, you know. And then when we obey, the Bible says this. When disobeys, the Bible says this. And something happens to someone after disobedience. And you go, wow, the guy, he knew the future. Well, no, he just read the Bible.
He just read,
yeah,
exactly.
So that's what it is, you know, also. You know, so now that we framed the conversation, we can
okay.
go back to it.
All right, so let's go back to it.
It took us 9 minutes and 14 seconds to frame
God,
the conversation. That was
God,
the longest framing
oh,
we've
man.
Ever had to do.
Hey, you got to be careful. If you don't frame the foundation correctly, the whole house is crooked. So we got to make sure it's right.
That was a good show. Thank you for coming.
Wow. All right.
No, it's not over.
No, we're just getting started. Maybe one verse to start to back our belief of
just
continuationism when it comes to healing.
Yes.
James chapter 5.
Yes.
This is the half-brother of Christ.
Yes.
The first leader of the church in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Many people think it's Peter. It's actually James. Read
mm-hmm.
the book of Acts. You will see that
oh, yeah.
Peter and Paul had a dispute, and James was the overseer who settled it. And this is what he says. Let's see here. If you look at James chapter 5, starting in verse 13.
Yeah.
Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you?
I'm blowing my nose.
Is any sick among you, as Philippe is here just letting us have it? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him. I think you planned that. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Yes. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Yep. So what is our instruction from the early leader of the Jerusalem yes. church, the half-brother of Christ? Yes. If you are sick, pray. If you need healing, if you are in such a dire strait, yep. call the elders of your church, mm-hmm. ask them to come to you, yes. anoint you with oil, yes. and pray over you.
Yes.
Do you do that in your church? Do you practice that in some way? Do you know that there is more to this spiritual life that we live than just... okay, we're walking with Christ, and
yeah.
what would the we talked about it maybe a couple weeks ago, the prosperity, what would the prosperity yeah. gospel preacher say? Well, you need to have enough faith to not be sick.
Yes.
And that's not what we're saying. That's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible says when you are sick,
yeah.
have the faith to ask for help.
Yes.
Have the faith to speak out to God, yes. ask for help, to call the elders, the delegated authority of your church, to come and pray over you in God's yeah. stead. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Why would a leader of the church say this if this were not something that we could practice today?
Right. So just to repeat what Pastor Matt just said. So our argument is very simple. Like we have two options. We believe that God no longer heals, or you believe that God still heals. And we do believe that still heals. And we base the first answer, the first point we're making here in answering the question is, then why would James make that statement in the Bible if he did not think that God was still healing?
Mm-hmm.
The counter argument that people would use, ooh, of course, because there are always counter yes. arguments. Well, that was, you know, that was the Bible time, whatever.
That was for the early church.
There was the early church. And there's no such thing as an early church in that way.
Yeah.
Now, there is a difference in the way we understand the time of the book of Acts and the Gospels, because Jesus was on the earth. He's not on the earth anymore. He doesn't have the same ministry. The apostles were called to found the church. We see that, as I said earlier in Ephesians 2:20, some ministries have been given to start the church. We know that Jesus is asking the same thing twice in John 17 and also with Lazarus, that yeah. he wants his authority being shown through the miracles he's operating.
Yes.
Same for the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that was a time. But once the epistles are written, we're beyond that time, because
right.
God is writing for our instructions, Romans 15:4.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot use the argument, oh, that was back then, you know, that some people will use. I'm a cessationist because I believe that there was the Bible time and that mm-hmm. we're not in the Bible time anymore. That would mean that there was another book later on tells you don't listen to what the Bible says
right.
because it was not for you anymore.
Yeah.
So why would I be a cessationist and argue against this verse? Because this verse has its place in the revelation of the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So some things have been clearly stated in the epistles. Don't look back, because that was the beginning, Ephesians 2:20. But that James 5 is very clearly telling us that no, you can ask for prayer and you can get healed from your sickness. And that's also something very, very important for us to understand.
Yeah, I believe it's in Proverbs chapter 30. Every word of God is pure.
Mm-hmm.
It says not to add anything to it or take away from it. I think it's also in Revelation chapter 22.
Mm-hmm.
Any man who adds or takes away from this prophecy, whether it's speaking about just Revelation in particular or talking about the prophecy of the entire Bible as a whole, you have to be wary of that. Why would you try to take something out of the Bible and say, no, this is not for this time. This is not for right now. This is not for our understanding or our learning. This is not for us to grow in grace and knowledge. This is not for us to ask God for yep. wisdom and for belief and for his touch
yeah.
in our lives. Another example of this, so that was one writer in the after the establishment of the church. Mm-hmm. And then another one is Paul. And yeah. he mentions it a couple different times,
yes.
most specifically 1 Corinthians 12
mm-hmm.
is where he mentions it. So in 1 Corinthians 12,
yeah.
It says, maybe we could read actually starting towards the beginning,
okay.
Maybe in verse 3. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, This word gift is really interesting. It's the word charisma in the Greek, mm-hmm. but the same spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And then you have a list of the gifts. And in verse 9, it very specifically says to another, the charisma of healing, the gift mm-hmm. of healing by the same spirit. Yes. Now, do you believe that Jesus Christ, being the Lord, sent us the Holy Spirit, who is also God? And do you believe Malachi 3:6, whenever God says, I am the Lord, I change not? Mm. Do you believe that about God? Do you believe Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, where it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe that about God? Because he says, through his spirit, there is a gift of healing.
Yes.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I may not understand it. I may not have scientific proof to help you to understand it, but I would say that the inspired word of God says that there is a gift of healing. There, this gift, this charisma, this Greek word, it carries a bunch of different definitions. One very particular one, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It is the divine grace poured out upon us. Mm-hmm. And then when you're speaking about the gift in 1 Corinthians 12 or Romans chapter 12, you're speaking about this divine grace being poured over in your life to the point that he wants to express his power through your life. If that's through the gift of healing by the laying on of hands or whatever other means, then that's a result of God's grace. That is not anything to do with who you are, with who we are, with what accomplishments you have in your life. It's really usually most often displayed through the most suspect of people. You just wouldn't expect this person to have a certain gift in a certain manner.
Yeah.
And God says, well, I'm going to display my power and my strength. Whenever my gospel is preached, I want to give you a sign to say that this is not just words, but there is power involved with this gospel.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how we frame God. You know, it's okay. So if you go to, I think it's, is it Psalm 115 that has the whole chapter on idols, right?
Yeah.
So I want to say something about that, if you allow me to do that.
Oh, please.
So yeah, Psalm 15, it's one, Psalm 115. The whole chapter is really interesting, I think. But he's explained, so the whole point of the chapter is, say, there is only one true God. And he compares God with man-made idols. What's interesting in there is that it would be interesting to go through the chapter, but it's not our topic. I just want to make a point about the idea. When you're a cessationist, you're actually saying that God is limited by my understanding of theology, despite the evidence in Scripture. So, but what's interesting there is exactly how we do, because I'm not a pagan, I don't have idols. But the idols is what I make of God Himself. Mm-hmm. When I take God and I shrink Him into something smaller, I made an idol. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly one of the points that he makes in Psalm 115. You know, the point he says that when, you know, the idols are made by men and they look like men, right?
Yeah.
They have eyes, but they have eyes, they don't see.
Right.
They have feet, they cannot move. They have hands, they cannot touch. So the whole point is, of course, because they are made of wood or stone or whatever. So it's the same thing. But the worst part of it, this is exactly why it is important to have a conversation like this. Like, if I'm sick and I don't think God can heal me, I'm shrink my God into a useless idol. Mm-hmm. But the worst part of Psalm 119, I think, is when they say, those idols look like men, and then after the end of the chapter, he says, those men look like they're idols.
Yes.
So you went from a living being who made a small God, and you ended up being like your small God. What does he mean? I have eyes, but I don't see. Mm-hmm. I have hands I can touch. So my shrinking of God gives me a shrink life as a Christian.
Yeah.
And if I don't believe the word of God, then I'm smaller. The same thing, you know, Lazarus' death, you know, in Martha. It's so interesting when you look at that, you know, is it John 11?
Yes.
Yes, John 11, right. So in John 11, I'm going to say one more thing. I just decided to preach today, whatever.
Bring it. I think I already started, sorry.
You know, we're excited.
I set the stage.
This is it. If I could pound on the table, I would, but I cannot because Sebastian just came in.
Oh, no,
the studio.
Our producer
He's
is the, about
the head
to
producer,
rip us
and he
to
does
pieces.
Not allow any problem. He does not want us to have an attitude. So I'm going to have to slow down here and just pretend I'm doing fine.
John 11.
Yes, John 11. So what I like about the story, when you look at this, is, so, you know, everybody knows the story, right? Lazarus is sick. Jesus knows about it. He lingers. When he's passed, he goes and visits.
Right.
When he gets there, he's gave two things that Martha and Mary are saying the same thing a few verses apart.
Mm-hmm.
Is that if you would have been here,
mm-hmm.
he would have been healed. Martha says this.
Yep.
And then Mary says this. What's interesting to me that this verse is so revealing in the same context of what we're saying. Like, God, by definition, will surprise us.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's not God. Like, if I can figure him out.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what a cessationist does. He figures God out. What do I mean by that? Well, she said, if you have been here, you know, and the Jews will say that later on in the chapters. Well, you know, he was able to heal the lame, all this. If he would have been here, could have healed his friend. What they don't know is that they made Jesus capable of healing, but not capable of resurrecting the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So they're about, you know, they're up for a rude awakening because he's going to resurrect him.
Yeah.
But they don't believe so. So, and then Martha and Jesus have a back and forth conversation. And he says, well, you know, what about resurrection? And Martha just going on saying, well, don't talk to me about resurrection. I'm plagiarizing him a little bit. You know, I'm just, you know, making fun of that conversation on Martha's idea because I feel like the same way many times. I know all about the resurrection. I know all about theology. Yes, he will resurrect at the end of the day. And Jesus says, no. I am the resurrection of life.
I am.
And then Mary says the same thing, and the Jews. And at some point, he says, open the roll, the stone. No, he stinks.
Yeah.
Well, no, he doesn't, because God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be all, you know, like in awe because he did something. But what I found interesting in that chapter compared to 115, Psalm 115, and the conversation we have is what you said earlier. If I don't believe that God can heal, I'm shrinking, my God, and I end up like Martha. I know all about my theology. I know one day, but God has nothing for me today. And when I'm sick, you know, I won't pray for healing. And doesn't mean that God won't heal me anyway.
Yeah.
But I don't see God for who he is. You know, my God is shrinked. And I think it's what, this is really what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Here, really.
Yeah. I mean, it just brings these verses to mind, what you're talking about.
Bring him on.
Romans. So right before Paul's gets into the chapter on gifts in the book of Romans, in chapter 11 at the end, he exclaims, this is like what do they call this? When you end a psalm with like a praise or, I can't remember the word right now, but Romans 11, 33.
I've taught this before
and I have no idea.
But we both woke up with a headache this morning and we had to shake it. So we just realized that we arrived here. So we
have two a doxology. It's a doxology. That's what it's called. So in Romans 11, 33, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Just think how ever expanding and unlimited the depth and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God are. Not this tiny little frame that we put God in, not this tiny little wood or stone idol that we carve and say, hey, this is our God. He is way beyond this. It says, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Mm-hmm. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. The glory of God, mm-hmm. Isaiah 43, verse 7, the glory of God is the only reason that humans are in existence today. We were created in his likeness and his image to reflect and point to his glory. He created beings before us. They're called the angels. And what happened to the angels? Well, one of them got a little heady, got a little high-minded, became a lover of himself, and decided to take matters into his own hands. His name is Lucifer, mm-hmm. the darling son, the son of the morning, and he lifted himself up and he got cast out of heaven, and he took a third of the angels with him in his rebellion. So when God created man, he created man to point to his glory, unlike Lucifer and his fallen angels. Yeah. It's like the exact opposite effect of what took place. We were created for his glory. If we are looking at his glory, what is the Lord incapable of?
Yeah.
I don't know a thing that he's incapable of other than changing, lying, dealing in falsehoods.
Yeah.
He's incapable of that. But what is he incapable of in terms of power, in terms of wisdom, in terms of who could say to God, oh, you can't heal. No, I understand this to be this way, so you can't heal.
Yeah.
Who has been his counselor?
Mm-hmm.
None of us.
No.
It hasn't happened that way.
Yeah. And it's interesting, we go back to James 5. You know, in Book of James, you ask for wisdom. Everybody, you know, there's no cessationist.
Yeah.
Oh, you can still ask for wisdom.
Yeah.
And the verse after, ask for prayer. No, 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 it doesn't work anymore.
No, forget it.
So it doesn't make any sense, right? So, I mean, that's the whole point. So I think basically, you know, our first question with today, what is our stance on the issue and why? And this is why, you know, we could go on and on. There is so many verses that we could quote. I don't know if you have any others that you'd like to bring up, or we could move to the question number two, but yeah, it's up to you. Do you have any other verses you'd like to?
Not presently. Not presently.
So what is the second question? First, hello from France. Well, Céline is listening. Céline, I've known Céline's, I don't know, maybe she was a teenager, I think, maybe. So we've been the same.
You can, so just a few years ago.
A few years ago,
just
yes.
Just a few years ago, when you were a teenager.
Oh, she's younger than me, but
sure.
If you don't know, like, the reason why I have don't speak English like Pastor Matt's because I have a French accent, so
I never
that hello from France.
Not one time.
Well, Jehu noticed, but that because Jehu was also one of my students, as Sidon was, but that's what it is.
If you're following along with us today, we appreciate the comments. Please feel free to write in. Yes, Celine, hello back to you from the Grace Hour studio in Baltimore, Maryland.
Maryland.
Aretta wrote in, good morning, pastors. My pastor prays over me and anoints me with oil at the altar. Aretta, I'm not sure. Are you saying your pastor has prayed over you and anointed you with oil at the altar? Or are you asking for prayer? We appreciate you writing
Thumbs
in.
Up.
We appreciate you writing in. If you are listening, feel free to write in any questions or comments we may be able to get to. But we're going to move into our second question of the show because we spent a lot of time on our stance on continuation.
Well, that was the whole point.
Which is good.
I think we did. We could have ended there. Well, yeah. Oh, we could give you like 20 more verses. But come on, do your research.
Okay. All right. So
do your own research.
Yeah. Be a Berean.
We're not going to chew the whole thing for you. Yeah.
Second question in tandem with this idea of does God still heal, how should Christians view healthcare and medicine in light of biblical healing?
That's a very good question.
It is. Yep. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Well, I would say, if you ask the question,
I just don't want to throw you under the bus anymore.
So. Unless you have something you want to start with.
I just want to say one very simple thing.
I knew it. Go ahead.
These are not... Hey, Felix, thank you so much for listening. We love Felix, you, man. We appreciate you a lot.
Yes, we do. He said huge greetings. Not just small greetings, like a huge greeting. That's thank you. Huge greetings back to you,
okay,
Felix.
Okay. All right. Christians shouldn't. These are not mutually exclusive ideas.
Yes.
Healing from God and healing from medicine and healthcare today, they are not like opposing forces.
No.
And very often, for some reason, Christians will pin these things up against each other and say, well, if you just had faith, you wouldn't need this other thing. And that is total, pardon my language, BS. That is ridiculous. Oh. That is absolute malarkey. Did God give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding to be able to delve into medicine, natural forms of healing, artificial forms of healing, however you may think about it? Did God give us the mind for that and the creativity for that? Is the Holy Spirit not the creator of the worlds itself in Genesis chapter 1? Elohim, the Trinity, is that not what we were built for? Again, for His glory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we start doing things and we start creating things, and I'm not going to get into that conversation, but we start creating things that are for man's glory or for the altering of God's glory or for somehow changing and starting to worship the creature rather than creator in Romans chapter 1, then we're not talking about the same thing anymore. But if we're talking about healing through doctors and nurses and hospitals and medical practice, how is that not part of God's kingdom? I really have a hard time believing that there's somehow a fight in that arena.
No, there's no, and I think maybe I can say a couple more things to add to what you just said. Number one is, faith does not exclude wisdom.
No.
And when you believe it does, then you have a wrong understanding of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, faith becomes necessary when we come to an idea where there's nothing else but God in that situation. That is what walking by faith means.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything that I don't believe, that I have to step into faith. Like, maybe I doubt that God loves me. The Bible says he does, so I have to step in faith.
Yeah.
So every time, the only way for us to step in faith is to have doubt. There is no possibility.
Right.
So what does it mean that concretely in terms of wisdom? I don't feel good. I go to the medical doctor. He looks at the picture and says, well, there is something over here. We need to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do? I go and check it out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm told, you know, there you go. You have a biopsy. You know, the biopsy reveals that whatever I have is cancerous. Oh, now I'm in fear, right?
Right.
So what do I fear? Because it's a big deal maybe, right? Mm-hmm. So what do? I have a choice. I can step in faith and say, okay, God, you know, God wants the best for me, so I'm going to say that. But does that mean that my diagnosis was given by medicine, but I don't want the treatment? That mm-hmm. would be ridiculous.
Yes.
Well, now if I'm told the treatment will help you, but you're going to survive for 6 months, that's it. Can I pray that God will heal me completely? Yes, the complete healing, despite the capacity of medicine, this is when my faith comes in.
Yeah.
Right? But if some people tell me, oh, you know, I don't use, you know, medical treatment. They'll say, what do you do when you have a headache? Well, I take an aspirin. There you go. So the bigger the issue is, the more likely you won't go to the doctor.
Right.
How stupid is that?
Yeah.
You know, that's the point number one. And the point number two is God gave us natural remedies. Mm-hmm. You see that. You know, mm-hmm. why God did create in nature things that can be helpful. Like mm-hmm. if I get a burn, it's funny. When it comes to, you know, people who get burns, it's very painful, so they'll do something about it.
Yeah.
So I thought you had to just pray about it. Just let it burn and pray about it.
Yeah.
So what we do, like most of the effective, like as an example of remedy, the most effective way to help with the burn, there are some plants that are very good with it.
Yeah.
But then you mix them with some kind of fat, and it's mm-hmm. very helpful because it dehydrates the skin.
Yeah, it comes like a salve. It covers it. It protects it.
Exactly. So God gave us natural. Why would God create natural remedies and not ask us to use them?
Yeah,
that's the, you know. And number three, in the first Timothy 5:23, when Paul sees Timothy being sick, he tells him, well, there you go, you have a problem with your stomach. He's not saying, what is wrong with you, you should pray about it, go and ask the, you know, he says, oh, just drink a little wine, it's going to help you, you know. And so he's giving him natural remedies.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a whole different conversation of what it is, but the point here is, so no, it's like they're not incompatible. Absolutely not incompatible.
No. And okay, let's take an extreme example. Like you said, like you have cancerous cells in your body. They mm-hmm. are growing. It is expanding at an alarming rate. And your only maybe medical option could be something like chemotherapy or something. Okay, I know nothing about any of this stuff.
Same thing.
Just saying that flat out. I'm just saying this is what you might hear at the doctor's office. Like, that's your only option. That's your only thing you can do to help try to cut this off so that we can cut it out and get it out of your body. Does that mean, like, if you start down that route, that you're also not believing God at the same time, that he could just remove it completely? I don't think so. God could remove it completely. How many stories do you have of people who have been diagnosed with cancer, who it's been like medically proven to be there? They have multiple tests where it's growing, growing, growing.
Yeah.
And then one test out of the middle of nowhere, it's completely gone.
Yeah.
That's a miracle. That's a healing of God.
Yes.
I don't care how you look at it. The medicine side of it definitely helps. Mm-hmm. There's science to back the idea of chemotherapy shrinking the tumors and attacking them and having them turn on themselves and kind of eating each other alive and then giving the doctors the opportunity to perform surgery on it. But
you can
have the best of both worlds here.
Yeah.
We're not saying faith is better than medicine. If medicine's available, why not?
Yeah.
Why not use both?
Yeah, and even if you think of faith, yes. Could someone say, well, faith is better? Yes, but faith does not exclude medicine.
Yes.
Like, I gotta have faith in the fact that God put me in a place where I have access to medical mm-hmm. treatment. Why not?
Yeah.
It still is a miracle. Like, if you look at the statistics for cancer, for example, mm-hmm. they're not good.
No.
So I can still trust God and you know, you know, it's in a way, is that hype? I think for me, it's hyper spirituality when it's okay, I'm not going to do anything. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, it's like you have help available. You know, why don't, you know, why don't you use it? And I think besides, if you think they're incompatible, then you have a problem with understanding what faith is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I believe. I think we addressed that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we did.
I don't know. You were looking at the screen, so I don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm just going back and forth here.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the next question. Han Kinkova, thank you for writing in. We appreciate your comment. We do absolutely 100% believe in spiritual healing first.
Yes.
We all need to be healed of sin in our lives. By his stripes we are healed. That was one of the main verses on the show yesterday. Speaking of spiritual healing, the sins that we are forgiven. 1 John 2:2, the sins that Jesus Christ took upon himself of the whole world to give us opportunity to be healed of this old sin nature, of the sickness yeah. inside all of us.
And also, thanks for sharing about your yes. you know, your physical issues, that we can pray for that for yeah. sure. Yeah.
Awesome. So the next question is, yeah. are sickness and infirmity always caused by the devil?
Well, the answer is no.
Pretty simply put.
Pretty simply put. the long answer is, what is it?
Well, I'm just thinking, I can only think of maybe one or two biblical examples where it's clearly caused by the devil.
Yeah.
The biggest one being in the book of Job. It's
yeah.
the devil is allowed to afflict Job. Mm-hmm. Boils are all over his body. Mm-hmm. And that infirmity, that specific sickness was caused yeah. by the devil. Are there other sicknesses that could be caused by Prince of the Power of the Air? Yeah, sure. But is that the only cause of sickness in this world?
No.
No.
I mean, no, you think about someone who's had a cancer because he's been exposed to radiation because mm-hmm. of his work.
Yeah.
That's why people are working in nuclear plants. They have this Geiger counter. They wear on yeah. them all the time. Until they reach a certain number, they have to go. If they don't take care of that, they'll get some serious sickness.
Yeah.
Marie Curie, who invented the X-ray,
yeah.
you know, died of exposure to radiation. That's not devil-related. In the Bible, if it was always devil-related or demonic-related, then the Bible would say so. But when it was, the Bible did mention, okay, she's been like this for so many years because the devil, mm-hmm. you know, like the woman that was like bent over, you know. So we have a couple of things like this, like anything, yeah. like the guy who has epilepsy because he was possessed. Yes,
yeah.
but there's two or three examples in the Bible out of hundreds of miracles. Mm-hmm. So it's not always caused by the devil, but it can be.
Yeah, let's just talk about human choice for a second. Mm-hmm. Emphysema, yep. Lung cancer, nicotine consumption. Yep. Were you forced to start smoking at the age of 12 years old, or did you choose to do that?
Yep.
My grandfather, like, I love him to death, and he chose to smoke from the age of 12 onwards. He quit when he was maybe in his early 60s, but it was too long of a yep. period of time mm-hmm. of his choice mm-hmm. where he was affected and yep. afflicted by it, and yep. now he has emphysema. And it's just something, you know, it's something you got to deal with. That's human choice. What would we say? Where did sickness and all of disease come from to begin with? We would say the fall. We would yeah. say when sin entered the world through Adam and Eve's transgression, mm-hmm. then the entropy for a term in physics, the degradation. I can't think of the word. the world kind of dwindling away little by little. The human body dwindling away little by little. The fact that we get older and more frail and more mm-hmm. fragile, our systems start to shut down within us.
Yeah.
All of that is a result of sin
yeah.
entering the world. If Adam and Eve never did that and we all lived in the Garden of Eden and spread the garden throughout the planet, we might all have... It said if they would have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of... The tree of the wisdom.
Yeah.
Holy crap, I can't think of the word. The tree of life. If they would have eaten of the tree of life, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place today. If they would have eaten of the tree of life, they would have had eternal life. Yes. They would have had it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we do have eternal life through Christ Jesus yeah. our Lord, and it rids us mm. of our sin. Yeah. Not in this present world, not where we are today, but it yeah. does rid us of our sin. Philippe, any more thoughts on that?
No, I think it's pretty clear. I think there's I mean, if we say something more, we just repeat ourselves. The answer is very simple. The Bible does not support the idea that all sicknesses are by the devil. That is what the prosperity gospel would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's lack of faith, or it's either the devil. So, and both ways are completely wrong and biblical, and needs to be denounced because it's not true. It yeah. puts people under bondage.
Yes.
I'm responsible for my situations, and mm-hmm. on top of being sick. You think you have a spiritual problem now, and then you condemn yourself because you're not a good Christian.
Yeah.
And that is very bad.
And then let's throw this monkey wrench in there. John, yes. Oh, these are
monkey wrenches.
Monkey wrench. John chapter 9, mm-hmm. when the disciples asked Jesus, why was this man born blind?
Bam.
Was it for his sin, for his mother's sin, for his father's sin?
Nope.
No, it wasn't for anyone's sin. It was so that the works of God would be glorified and magnified
yep.
among the earth, and you would see that the Son of Man has the power to forgive yep. sins.
Yes.
He says in another example in the Gospels, is it easier for the Son of Man to say he forgives sins, or is it easier for him to say take up your mat and walk? And he does both, to prove to everyone that he is the Son of God, that he is able to take away sin out of the world. And to prove that, here's a miracle to go along with it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Madeline. She's replying to Hannah, and she said that, yeah, she prays for you. So we pray for you, and we care about you.
Yes. Yes, Lord, heal her brain.
Yes.
Help her with her migraines,
yeah,
her fibromyalgia, her arthritis. Help her with her thinking. Help her with her body functions.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we pray for anyone who is in need of healing, because we believe that you can do miraculous things. You can do things that are way past our finding out. So we ask you to touch hand today and anyone else who's hurting. And we just appreciate you for your loving kindness and your grace that you pour out upon us. Your mercy that you give us, that we don't deserve any of this,
mm-hmm,
God, but we believe you for it, because you are a good, loving Father. In your name, Jesus.
Amen.
We pray.
We got a few more minutes.
We got one heck of a question to end with. And I'm going to let you start on this one, if that's okay.
That's okay. Okay.
Never mind. I'm not going to say anything. Why doesn't God always heal? That's our last question. Why doesn't God always heal?
I'm going to give you a very simple answer, because God is sovereign. And maybe we could paraphrase a little bit what C.S. Lewis used to say, that God whispers in our pleasures, and then he uses pain as a megaphone.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how in the Bible, trials are a big part of the Christian life.
Mm-hmm.
Not because God likes to put us through trial. Apparently, it's the best way to get our attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, you know, I'm thinking about some people that went through very difficult times. You know, it's true in the world as well, you know, but in the Christian history, how inspiring their faith was despite their difficulties. So sometimes God will choose to let us go through difficult times and not be healed, because it's going to be helpful for the kingdom. And we see that in the Bible, we see that in history, and that would be a simple way to say God knows better, mm-hmm, he knows best. And then sometimes he decides, okay, I'm going to heal you because I think it's going to be a good testimony, and also for you it's going to be good. And sometimes it's better if you don't, you know, if he doesn't. And that's just a simple answer.
I appreciate that answer. I don't wholeheartedly agree with it, but okay. I appreciate it.
Okay, go ahead.
I would actually say the framing of the question is incorrect. This is one of your moves.
It's going back up the ladder.
I learned this from Philippe Siragi. Okay, why doesn't God always heal? That's an incorrect premise to the question. God always heals. God has provided a way for every single person on this earth to be healed for all of eternity, and it is through salvation in His Son Jesus Christ. Does that mean you're going to be healed on this in this temporal world? Does that mean that you're going to be rid of all the ailments in your physical body here and now? No, it does not.
Okay.
But ultimate healing takes place when you are face-to-face with your Father in heaven. 1 Corinthians 13, now we see these things in part, but then we will see them in whole. Even as we are seen of God, we will see Him. It is a beautiful thing, and there is where we will be healed. We are new creations the moment we are saved. And all things become new again when we are in heaven with Him. So are we going to have physically ailing bodies in heaven? No, we're going to have glorified bodies in heaven one day. But in the meantime, we're going to be face to face with our Creator. We're not going to have any need of light.
I'll accept
there's
that
gonna
answer.
There's going to be no need of healing, because there's going to be no tears, no pain, no weeping, I don't know what else, but there's not going to be the things that we need healing for.
Yes.
When we're with our Father in heaven, that we might need it for here today.
So I can accept the eschatological answer.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
I just went spiritual.
Yeah, because we use the same thing when we talk about evil in apologetics.
Yeah.
We say, you know, why doesn't God stop you? He will. You know, and that's also what Pastor Schaller preached at our church, you know, about, you know, God has about justice. You know, we look at this world thinking there's so many injustices, and judgment is coming.
Yes.
So healing is coming. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
And even though, and you know, like Hebrews 11, all the heroes of faith, the world was not worthy of them, and they didn't see the promises.
They didn't even see it.
on the earth, but they did end up seeing the promises in heaven.
Yes.
So there you go. Voila.
That's it.
I think that's it.
I think we're done.
I think we're done.
I think we're going to ask Jehu to roll that roll that music. I'm not
going to the music.
Not going to steal that trademark phrase, but go ahead and roll the music.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many more platforms. I think Twitch is one of them also. Be sure to join us as we continue the week on healing and the theology behind it. In Jesus' name, amen.